to live righteously.
It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall. It's Articles of News, part two for the week of the 20th of February. Joined again by Britt, or is it Brett, and then Britt, and it is Britt. So good to have you both here.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here, as usual.
Yes.
Or as I like to refer to you now, as the anxious white Brittany.
You don't know.
I know your name is Brittany and that you're anxious and white, so I feel like I 100% know.
Oh, fair enough.
I wasn't making any sort of assumption based on your previous names or anything like that, but anxious white Brittany.
Yeah, I feel you.
Pleasure to have you here.
Yeah, it's nice to be here. I didn't realize this was part two.
Yeah, we did. Me and Britt did one the other night. We'll talk about what happened immediately after recording the other night. But
I'm going to fumble clumsily to take
your
a jacket
off. Hair is really red today. Is it because the sun is behind you?
Probably.
Okay.
I think in different lights it looks
you
more
look
red.
Very Ariel-ish.
Really? Now you're gonna have to take you have to take a picture now so that everyone's
so
like
people can see.
Yeah,
it?
I hate when people reference like visual things and then right. You don't get to see them.
Okay, well
what Richie does is he references and he says we'll post it on Instagram and then never post it.
Yeah, like when I sent you pictures of Boston, I don't think those ever got.
They did.
Did they?
Yes.
Oh,
they got posted.
Well, then I don't
I
know anything about
it,
anything.
But I never checked the Instagram.
I'll make your man friend Levi take a picture of you.
My man servant.
Hello, man servant. Levi's here too. What's up, Levi? How you doing? He doesn't have a microphone. We don't give him a microphone. He's silent. We're just lucky he's awake. I'm kidding. He sleeps a lot. That's not kidding. That's real. Although less sleepy than he used to be.
Yeah, I feel like he is less sleepy than he used to be. I think maybe he's been exploring the wonderful world of mushroom coffee.
I don't know what that is.
It's legal, just in case anyone was worried.
Okay.
Like, psychedelic.
I think it's a company, well, at least one of them is in Europe, but they make like teas that have different mushrooms in them, and they're supposed to have different, like, you know, neurological benefits.
Huh.
So maybe it's the mushroom tea.
That could just be sleeping, Levi. You could try sleeping. That would, you know. That. Yeah, he gets plenty of sleep.
Okay, Levi, come here for a second. Okay, so everyone out there, you finally get to hear the melodious voice of Levi, just in case, you know, just because, again, people are going to wonder.
All right.
So say hello, Levi.
Hi, I'm Levi.
I was really hoping it was going to say hello, Levi.
There you go. Now you know. That's Levi.
And you guys have been whatever you guys are for how long?
This August, it will be 4 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
So,
that seemed forever? That's almost as long as my marriage lasted.
It does. It seems forever, and then it seems like no time at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I like that we've finally gotten to the point. Like, it's been long enough now that, like, no one asks anymore if we're getting married.
Right.
Like, because people have given up. And that's exactly where I want to be.
Well, you, first and foremost, right?
Sure. But, like, I wanted everyone to join me, or us, in our giving upness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I would be equally as surprised to, if you saw, like, a wedding invitation. No, there's a better way of saying this. Like, if Levi were to disappear tomorrow and, like, run off to South America and just live among the indigenous tribes down there, if
yeah,
there
with
are
the
any
governor
indigenous
of South
tribes,
Carolina, right?
Yeah. Then I would be equally as not shocked as if...
You guys got married. I got it.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you don't know. It's up in the air. Who
yeah.
knows?
But I do think it's funny that, you know, everyone wants to know what's going on, and then people stopped asking what was going on, and so
that's
now...
because nothing changed.
Right.
Well, it's like the weather, too. People just have to talk about stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, so you getting married, you know?
Yeah. How's your hair? It's like your hair. I don't really care about your hair, but yeah. I felt like I needed to talk about something.
Yeah,
although I feel like our hair is almost as long.
I know.
Like yours and mine.
Yeah, except mine's real.
Not in a man bun tonight.
Mine is real.
That isn't extensions?
No, it's real hair.
You were carrying a big wad of hair the other day. It was gross.
That rat's nest.
Yes. Brittany and I are in a show together at the Desert Star in Salt Lake if you live in the... Salt Lake area.
Who does Brittany play in the show?
I play a monkey.
A monkey?
A trans species monkey. And I play a tour guide.
Okay.
And I play an old woman. So I am the cameo role in the show.
Yep. You haven't seen it yet, have you?
No, I have not.
Yeah, Barry, DJ Rob came and watched it. You should come watch it.
Yeah.
Well,
I'll get you come watch it.
He didn't call me. That's why I didn't call him to go to D's yet.
Yeah.
But... No, but, Richie, I feel like, you know, I mean, I feel like of all people, you should understand like ambiguity of relationships and things like that. I feel like you and I are kind of similar in that fashion.
In the we don't know fashion?
Yeah, there's always a lot of we don't knows. I mean, like I recently kind of had my heart broken into some pieces.
Well, because of the dog?
Oh, I wouldn't call
him
that.
Levi's sitting right here, right?
It's not a nice thing to say. No, Levi knows all about everything that happens in my life.
Okay.
So add another layer of weirdness to whatever people don't already understand.
And no, I don't know that we have enough time to even get into all that.
No, we shouldn't. Neither should we try.
Right.
It just ends in frustration and sometimes tears. But you recently had your heart. Well,
I don't know what you're talking about. What heartbreak?
We're not going to talk about that?
No, you're fine.
Did you talk about that?
What are we talking about? The ending of my marriage or the girl that I was seeing?
The girl that you were seeing.
Well, we're still working things out, so I don't know.
Oh.
That's sort of, again, ambiguous.
Oh, well, never mind then. We don't need to talk about
it. That's fine. I don't know what we talk about.
Yeah.
Because here's how I go. How's it going? I don't know.
Yeah.
Seems to be going pretty good.
You and I in relationships, not super awesome.
Or no.
No.
More you than me, but yeah.
Well,
I mean, at least I
look, I could go out and get married if that's what it takes to prove anything.
Do it. Do it.
Let's all make a pact right now, right?
No, I actually have thought about
just getting married. That's a bad idea.
No, yes, because
nope.
Because no, idea, hear me out.
But you had ice cream at your reception, Richie.
Oh, yeah.
That was worth it, wasn't it?
That was absolutely worth it, right?
No,
get some ice cream.
But I did sort of have this realization the other day that I think part of my angst to get married was actually just because like I didn't want to be an old bride. Like, I wanted to get married while I was still relatively young.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wasn't all, like, wrinkly and sad looking in my wedding photos. Like,
sad.
Which is not a reason to get married.
Big frown on your face.
At all. But there it is. Now you know. That's my superficial, like, I wanted to be a pretty bride.
Right.
And I had to just let that go.
So. Well, do I go for the easy joke here, or do I just let it slide?
It's already been implied.
But it was your wedding, right? So,
that's what Photoshop is
Zing.
For.
Goo, goo, goo.
Just add one of them filters on top.
How was your dog? Let's circle back about that. That was the last time you were on, told the faith-promoting story of your dog being saved.
So, Boston is Levi's dog.
Levi's dog.
So my stepchild, I guess, is how I refer to him.
Please don't ever refer to dogs as children and children as dogs. It is not the same. There are elements that are similar, but people who are, that's my baby. No, it's not. That
you whip
a
fur on it.
But
that's what you do. Fur child.
My
fur baby.
Child. No.
No, but here's the thing. Like, some people can't have children, and that's like the closest thing they'll ever have.
Sure, but it's still a dog. It's not
And
their
some
child.
People shouldn't have children.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, I know, but then, I mean, we could get nitpicky about, like, your stepkid isn't your kid.
Well, sure, and people do. There are some people that take me to task about that.
Do they really?
You bet.
See, but
are those people with fur babies?
He's not your kid.
That just seems mean spirited.
Well, sure.
Right. Like people who would say that dogs are not. Yeah, exactly. So my child was lost in the wilderness for 24 hours. And no, he was like lethargic on the way home.
Uh-huh.
The second we got him home, he was like, let's play fetch.
Oh, nice. Aww.
And he was out in the snow.
Did you tell him to watch his mouth? Let's play fetch. You know?
Oh, okay.
You watch your mouth.
Hey,
no, but we
deep.
Did have a t-shirt commissioned for the occasion, which I'll have to send you. It was so funny. There's this, have you ever heard of Jackbox games?
No.
They're like computer games, and there's different ones, and you can buy like expansions, and they're games that you play on your phone, so like if you're all in the living room, you can all be playing this game on the TV.
Okay.
They're really cool, actually.
Okay.
But there's one where, like, it's like a t-shirt game, so you design your own t-shirts.
Uh-huh.
So you draw pictures, and then you have slogans, and then you mix and match to try and make the funniest combinations.
Okay.
Anyway, there was, from this, a glorious Boston shirt created that, again, now I'm going to have to send you so that people...
Please.
Yeah,
did you get a picture of her hair yet, Levi?
No.
Make sure you get a picture of the hair.
I'm not being very interesting today, am I?
I think you're being fine.
Am I?
You're just not being long-winded, which is appreciated.
Okay. Well, I'm done now.
No, nothing else?
Nothing interesting, no.
You're doing the next show at the theater, yeah?
No.
No, you're not. You're opting out. Why? What? Oh, you're doing the Saturday's Voyeur.
Maybe.
No?
Well, because I injured my foot at the theater.
Mm-hmm.
Remember? Recall?
Yes.
when the roof...
Yeah, when the roof leaked and you slipped and fell, that's a story for another time. Maybe.
Right. And then
except that leaky roofs and slippery floors are no good for actors.
Yeah, exactly. But I ended up hurting my foot. Like, and when I first heard it, I really didn't think much of it because it didn't hurt. You know, like when you really hurt yourself, you're like, oh my gosh, it's broken or it's sprained.
Right.
When it first happened, I'm like, oh, it's okay. But then, like, progressively, it's just gotten worse. And so now I'm just waiting to go see a specialist, and that will largely determine whether I perform at all in the next 6 months.
Well, then I hope it works out. Are you thinking surgery, maybe? Is that?
It's possible.
Well, sure, anything is possible, but what would be the indication that it might be surgery?
Certain kinds of nerve damage might require surgery. Okay. Cortisone shots, other things. It could be a fracture. We don't know. We don't know until we...
It's a game time decision is what she's saying.
We're going to decide game time. Game time decision.
So we'll see. I don't know. I don't know, but definitely not at the Desert Star for the next show, so...
All right. Britt, what's new with you? We just chatted the other day.
Well, since Friday night, let's see. Nothing, really.
No, not true. Not true. So, Britt and I went out after we recorded the articles of news the other day, part one and two of this week, and we decided to go to a place called D's Family Restaurant. It has other nicknames, but...
Freaky D's.
Yeah, Freaky D's is a good one.
Freaky D's is a good one. There are lesser nicknames for it that are inappropriate and not to be shared.
Huh.
But we went to the one on 21st South and 7th East in, like, Sugar House area here.
Do people know what it is? It's like a Denny's, kind of.
Yeah,
or
like
a Village
Denny's,
Inn.
Like an IHOP, like a Village Inn.
Yep, open 24 hours.
And it gets the weirdos, right?
It does. It's like a carnival. It's a freak show.
It gets your...
Hence Freaky D's. Right?
Yeah. So we got there probably about 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Maybe 12:30. And in the middle of the night. And we're sitting there talking. And you got the... what'd you get?
I just got eggs.
Yeah, bacon, eggs, and...
Bacon, eggs, and toast.
Whatever toast, right? And I got the cheese fries and milkshake.
I was going to say, the cheese fries is... I mean, that's Freaky D's and cheese fries.
It's, with training table closing.
Yeah,
where are you going to get your cheese fries?
And an order of cheese fries.
They're fabulous.
So we're sitting there, we're talking about life, we're catching up with each other, talking about a little bit about the episode, and there's this guy shaving sides of his hair almost to a mohawk, right? But kind of the thicker mohawk.
Kind of looks like a dude from Mad Max or something.
Yeah. So it's not pointed up, it's kind of slicked back, right?
Okay.
He's sort of fidgety, right? He's kind of all over the place. Like, he's in the booth, he's out of the booth.
Tweaking,
he's on the side, he's talking to someone else, right? And we're like, okay.
Now I'm down the ground, now I'm up in the tree. Now I'm back in the ground, now I'm back in the tree.
Exactly. It really was like that, right? And I was like, okay, but, you know, it's D's, it's 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. And
why am I here?
We get about halfway through, and I'm like, we started talking about caricature artists. You don't know what a caricature artist is? It's the goofy cartoon, right? Like, you get them at fairs, you get them
boardwalks.
You're walking on the boardwalk.
Las Vegas Strip
caricatures.
Giant head, small body, small other body parts.
So
that's how we got on the subject.
Yeah, that's how we got on the subject. So we were talking about, there's this caricature artist. That there was an online video about him, that he was an insult caricature artist, right? Where he would draw you unflattering, like it intentionally would look like your face, but then he would add something like that he would guess that you would be super insecure about and add it in, and then people would be like, wait, what?
Oh my gosh.
Or like he'd make it perverse, right? So it's really funny.
So for me, it would be like my ears would get bigger.
Right,
and
like he would have done huge.
And then my like canines would be just...
Yeah,
like
just
ridiculous.
Massive.
Or he'd write, and the thing I said to Richie is a lot of times those drawings, without intending to be, are that anyway.
Yeah.
People get them,
but
and like, I don't look like that.
Talking about this artist that's online who does that, and I noticed that this guy in the booth next to us, we weren't at a table. It was like full blue booth, like the glass and everything like that between us. I'm like, hey, Britt, I'm pretty sure this guy next to us is drawing us right now. And he's like, what? I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure he's drawing me. And so, you know, I kind of like him peeking over the booth a little bit, and it's like, oh, okay, whatever, and we just keep talking. And then the guy switches from the side of the booth that he's in to the other side and starts drawing Britt and just starts sketching him out. And here's
awesome.
The thing. It's a really good drawing, I thought.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Did you get to keep them?
Yeah. Well, so here's the catch, right? So he gets done. And
starts mumbling to Richie.
He starts, there's a drawing.
Put a mustache on.
And, what do you want the words to
say? He's riding a skateboard.
And he calls me Ricky in the picture, too, which I appreciated. He was like, here's the picture, you guys. You can tip if you want, but you don't have to, but you can. You're more than welcome to tip. And you know how that goes, right?
Right.
It's like, hey, Britt, I'm going to come clean your house. You know, let me come clean your house for you. You don't have to pay me anything. And obviously, once I get there, if I do a good job, you're going to be like, I'm not just going to let this guy come clean my
house. Here's a bottle of water. Sure. Thanks, Richie.
Right. So,
but
so
then you feel like you have to tip. But here's the thing. It's like a tip typically is going to be like a couple of bucks, right?
Right.
But I feel like when someone does something for free, you're going to tip them like a lot more money. You know
right.
what I'm
we
saying?
Did.
And so you're going to end up paying. It's as if you did pay them.
Right.
For the full service.
Right. And so
guilt kicks in, yeah.
I mean, we paid him $9 for this caricature that we didn't ask
was
for.
Was it on a napkin? I mean,
no, it was full-blown, like, sketch pad
paper. Okay, all right.
And he did it in markers, and it really looks good. We'll share a picture of it with Anna for Instagram. So
$9 is pretty good. I feel a little guilty about that, but it took him, like, 15-20 minutes to draw it.
Levi, take notes of all the things we need pictures of today. Me, Boston shirt, Richie's caricature, a hot dog.
Did you post it on Instagram? I did.
I did too, but not on the Cultural Hall.
Yeah, we'll just share that.
We can just share it that way. Yeah. It's there. It's available. Anna listens good at the Cultural Hall if you want to follow us on Instagram. So that was new.
Yeah.
Was that the punchline of that?
Yeah, it was just weird.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe there was going to be like some interaction out and he had like smashed your car or something. Or like,
you stole my art kit out of my car.
Yeah.
So here's the other thing. So last night, we had three shows at the theater yesterday. You were there all three, right?
Yes.
And we get done and I wasn't tired. And the unfortunate thing is like I was sort of tired, but like not really. And because of the sort of ambiguous situation with the girl that I have been seeing, wasn't able to hang out with her last night. And so I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to the gym. So I decided I'd go to the gym and work out.
Sure.
One of those newfangled 24-hour gyms.
Yeah, one of them new ones.
Where do you got to go to the gym at 10 o'clock on a Saturday night?
Here's who goes to gyms late at night on a Saturday night. A, no one.
Mm-hmm.
And B, those who do attend. Weird.
Yeah, it's like D's.
Weird.
I used to go to 24 Hour Fitness to swim because the pool was empty. And there were some freaks who would play in the pool, that's for sure.
Weird.
Yeah.
So weird.
But I'm part of that crowd, I guess.
There was about five people at the gym last night.
Okay.
And one was the guy that was working the front desk.
Which gym or where is the gym?
It's in Murray. Okay. It's right by the theater. Right by the 30 theater. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to run on a treadmill till my mind is ready to shut off, till my body is tired, and I know I can be able to sleep. I want to sweat a little bit because when I'd worked out earlier today, just lifted weights.
So you listened to some CNC Music Factory.
Yeah.
Going to make you sweat.
Hey, what song is that?
Everybody dance now.
That's going to make you sweat is what it's called?
That's called Going to Make You Sweat.
Oh, I thought, because when you say, I want to make you sweat, it's Girl, I want to make you sweat. That's what I think of. Different song. Anyway.
Who sings that song?
I don't know.
No,
anyway, so I'm on the treadmill, right? I'm minding my own business. And I see this woman come up the stairs, right? And I'm thinking, all right, someone else to join me. And I'm like, this is bizarre. Okay. This woman was done up, full hair, full makeup, like immaculate makeup,
mm-hmm.
right? Just like, spent probably 45 minutes, I would bet. I don't know makeup, but it seems like it wasn't just a rush job, right?
Okay. She's an attractive woman?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, attractive-ish. She's older than I am, so it wasn't like a thing that, you know, for me. But yeah. Like,
she wanted to look good anyway.
Yeah, of women her age, she would be the more attractive.
Okay.
Right?
Cougar.
Okay.
And then goes and gets on the elliptical.
Uh-huh.
And is just kind of hanging out on the elliptical, right? Like, sort of exercising. And I'm running on the treadmill, and the ellipticals are behind me, and I'm running, and You know, I kind of look around and she's like eyeballing me on the
All right. You want to go to D's?
You want to go to D's? I hear they got a caricature artist here tonight. Yeah. So I'm just sort of running and she's sort of eyeballing me and I'm like, okay. I'm just going to keep running, you know, and start running a little bit more. And I look back again a second time because I was like, maybe she wasn't like looking and you know what I'm saying? Like maybe it was just like a accidental eye hookup thing where you're like, oh, ah! You know, that you do sometimes with like dudes when they're naked in the shower at the, you know what I'm saying?
Do you watch Bob's Burgers at all?
No.
Oh, never mind then. Do you watch Bob's Burgers?
I don't. Sorry, Brittany.
You guys.
Tell me, quick.
There's a character in it. There's a daughter, one of the younger daughters, mm-hmm. who probably has some mild form of autism. Her name is Tina. She's amazing. I identify with a lot of her. But she's just so awkward, okay? Mm-hmm. And there's like a whole episode where she makes like eye contact with some kid in the hallway. Mm-hmm. And she plays out their whole relationship in her head. And at the very end, like she gets detention on purpose to be in the same room so they can keep making eye contact, you know, like test the theory. Like, was he really looking at me? So she's going to look again. And at the very end, she gives him the I'm going to, it's over eye contact. Uh-huh. And just so, yeah, the entirety of the relationship. And she even writes a song about it. So as you're saying this, like, I imagine this woman, like, writing a song about your relationship in her head as she makes awkward eye contact with you.
So could have been.
Yeah,
could have been.
That sounds pretty but accurate.
So I look back and I'm like, that woman is looking at me.
Yeah.
While I'm on this treadmill, while she is on that elliptical, she is looking at me. So I just keep going. I ran for a good long time. I wasn't particularly tired, like I said. I see another guy come in. A guy that's probably 25 years younger than woman you? On the elliptical,
oh,
right?
On the
so younger than you, for sure.
So younger than me, yeah. And he's a little, how do you say unkempt?
Unkempt?
Disheveled?
Yeah, disheveled.
Yeah.
A little messy.
No.
A little
frumpy.
No, not like hipster, because hipster is like put together messy.
A little this hipster guy, homeless?
Yeah. This guy was like
frumpy.
Yeah. No, because frumpy is like a weight thing. He was in decentish shape. So he comes up.
Slop.
And he kind of comes up to the treadmill by me. And he's on the treadmill by me for all of about 4 minutes. And I see him look back at her a couple of times. And then he
because she's the only woman there, too,
yeah,
right?
There, and, yeah, up in this elevated part of the gym, it's me on my treadmill, this guy who's hipster homeless, and Cougar on the elliptical. And
Cougar at 3 o'clock.
So then he moves treadmills and then keeps running, which I don't think too much of because I've been on treadmills where, like, the belt is wrong.
Right.
Or, like, it can't get the speed that you want to, right? So I'm not thinking of it. And then he moves again, like, 4 more treadmills. And I'm like, okay, some of these treadmills are pieces of junk, but that might be a little bit much. I'm not really sure what. So then, just a couple minutes after that, he goes and he's working out on the elliptical next to her, right? And they're not even moving. Like, their feet are just on the elliptical, like, occasionally moving something. I continued to run. I ran for about 2 hours when all was said and done.
Whoa.
And,
impressive.
And when I left, they were the couple that left in front of me, holding hands and walking out to one of their car. And I just was like, yes, nice work.
Wow,
excellent
it's a gym job.
Lady with the makeup and gentleman coming to
gym
the gym
hookup,
in the middle
huh?
of the night.
So either they are a couple in real life and they were doing one of these, like, let's role play and pretend like we don't know each other at the gym and we're going to hook up and go home. Or she was an escort and he was meeting her there. Yeah, all done up.
Yeah, maybe.
Or maybe they were meeting and they hadn't met
yet. Or it was a Tinder date.
Yeah, I would give more credence to a Tinder date.
Yeah.
Or some sort of social media.
But how do you explain him going from far away to near?
Right. Like, wouldn't he have just gone for it?
That could be a role play.
That's what makes you think it's the couple doing the role play.
Well, and that's what makes me think that guy or that woman just had some serious game last night. Hey.
Wow, what are the odds, too, at a gym that late at night?
Right.
Too. So that's why it also seems like it's planned a little
bit. Yeah, maybe a little. Yeah. Anyway, bizarre. Yeah. Bizarre.
Or I've heard actually, I mean, there's that one gym that won't be named because
out in Draper.
Yeah.
Yeah. The
this was like
gym.
A swinger.
Yeah.
It's a swinger gym.
Yeah, but neither of these people were with other people.
No, but you don't have to be with the other person.
I feel like that's
person.
How swingers go.
Nah.
I don't feel like this is the place
and
to
they all wear watches because they put their watches in a bowl. And then
watches in a bowl.
Who's
who wears watches?
We digress so much. Oh
see,
my
I'm
gosh.
A swinger.
No, but I did think of a word that describes that look that you were talking about perfectly. It's called millennial.
Ah.
That's what that is.
Ding.
They look
ding.
Like millennial.
Right, and they have an extra big pocket for their participation trophy.
Ah, marsupial snowflakes. Right in the front.
Let's take a break. We'll come back and do some actual articles of news.
Hi, friends. Dan the Laptop Man here from PC Laptops. I get a lot of emails with feedback from customers. Here's one. Dear Dan, I want to thank you for the help you gave my mom with her computer. She's gone from being frustrated to fascinated. I'm not overjoyed, though, that every picture of me that she has is now on Facebook. But she loves the computer and is happier than I've seen her in her whole life because of your team. You guys are the best. Signed, Happy. Dear Happy, in our company training meetings, we always teach everyone to treat every customer like they're your mom. At PC Laptops, we'll hold your hand every step of the way. Get a brand new PC Laptops desktop for just $799 with a lifetime warranty at any PC Laptops location. $799? You can't beat that. While supplies last, quantities are highly limited. Please visit us at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. I know you'll be happy too. Hey, Ma!
Utah's newest upscale catering company is now accepting bookings for the upcoming holiday and wedding season. Slick Rock Catering masterfully combines exquisite food, beautiful presentation, high-level service, and careful attention to create a special occasion that will be remembered. From award-winning food, event planning, decorating, to providing highly trained servers, Slick Rock Catering will help you make your next special event a huge success. Contact them at slickrockcatering.com.
The Cultural Hall wants you to help Utah Food Bank fight hunger statewide. Through your donations of food, time, or money, Utah Food Bank is able to distribute over 31 million meals annually to Utahns facing hunger. Even a $1 donation can be turned into $7.35 of goods and services. 1 in 5 children in Utah could go to bed hungry tonight, and 423,000 Utahns are unsure where their next meal will come from. By donating food at your local pantry or by visiting utahfoodbank.org, you can make a difference.
Imagine running a small business today. It's challenging. Imaging and internet presence is an absolute must. Even with that, you're still a small star in a bright cyber universe. Now, imagine you have someone who understands how to get your site designed for your talents and then easily searched by potential clients. Imagine Lennon Design. Whether it's strictly a website or a whole package of logo creation, advertising media, and promotional materials, Lennon Design is your partner in business. They'll test the boundaries of their imagination to create something unique for you. When you need creative, affordable design, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Time for the second half of Articles of News, wherein we do actual articles of news. Hit it, Peter.
You can't lose articles of news.
All right. I have got some articles of news. You guys do not, so I'm going to ask you to happily participate in these happy stories.
We are ill-prepared.
Which is fine, right?
Sure.
It doesn't always have to be about the stories. This is kind of a catch-up thing. I know that we have mentioned sort of around it here in the Cultural Hall, but I don't know that we actually did the story. So I'm going to read the church's announcement about it, too. A couple weeks ago, the LDS Church responded to the Boy Scouts of America admitting transgender scouts. Do you guys remember this in the news?
Yes, I do.
Britt, you're an Eagle Scout, right?
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
Oh, gosh. Wrong Britt. All right. So the LDS Church, which has about 15 million members worldwide and is the nation's largest sponsor of the Boy Scouts, sent the following statement. The church is studying the announcement by the Boy Scouts of America. Boy Scouts has assured its religious chartering organizations that, as in the past, they will be able to organize their troops in a way fully consistent with their religious beliefs. In recent years, the church has made several changes to its program for youth and continues to look for better ways to serve its family and young people worldwide. In 2015, the LDS Church decided that it would remain affiliated with the Boy Scouts despite its decision to allow gay troop leaders. So here's the question. How long do you think until the church stops doing Boy Scouts?
And
do you think that's a thing or do you think that's not a thing?
As long as it takes for them to get another thing structured.
Right.
You know, like the manuals printed and everything else. Because here's the thing, like, we don't do Girl Scouts in the church.
Right.
But I was a Girl Scout when I lived in Virginia growing up because there wasn't as big of a church presence there. And so it was really common to be part of the Girl Scouts of America. Mm-hmm. So I sold cookies and did all those things. I think I made it to, I went from a daisy to a brownie, and okay. then I think we moved here.
Mm-hmm.
But the young women's program here is so well structured that I think it will just take them doing some like printing of manuals.
And putting together of some, I guess, sort of curriculum like you have for the young women that...
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. As long as it takes for them to build a curriculum.
Huh. What do you think, Britt? Do you think they'll always stay with it?
I think Brittany makes a good point because the Boy Scouts was the structure for the young men.
Mm-hmm.
And in Utah, it's pretty natural because of the outdoor aspect here. But I kind of think, well, to structure a whole new scouting thing is a pretty big thing just because the Boy Scouts have brand recognition and all these other things that's been around forever. And the Scouts might not want the church to leave either just because
right.
well, they're,
the, they're such a huge,
yeah.
I mean, so much of their funding realistically comes from.
Yeah, and then also church has recognition, the fact that, you know, they do the Friends of Scouting money drive things. And so if they started something new, they might not be able to, you know, it might take a while to get up to a level of recognition with scouting. And, you know, it's just, it's hard. But, I mean, I'd see that they probably might just because of all these changes coming. The church can't change it quickly enough. And
right.
So, yeah, they might have to cut their losses. And
an interesting article, and I'll see if I can find it and then link it at theculturalhall.com, was someone sort of speculating about the reason why the church hasn't left the Boy Scouts is because President Monson is such a huge
scouting
advocate.
Aww.
And so they feel like once President Monson passes away, that will be the time when they'll change it.
I could see that.
Hmm. But there's a lot of things tied to it, though. Like, you have all the properties that the church owns that are scout mm-hmm. camps. In Utah right now, they're doing that whole refugee scouting thing, which is a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
And that was a part of for, like, 2 months.
Talk about what that is just for a second for people who don't know.
They have all the refugees who've come to Utah. And now they're all different types of nationalities. I was involved with the one that was a Nepali troop, and then they have like the ones that aren't affiliated with the church too, but the church helps because everybody involved in Utah with Scouts is Mormon, like in the leadership.
Yeah.
And so they had Muslim troops, they had Hmong troops, just a bunch of different nationalities, Vietnamese, and then these kids come, and the big problem is like they come and they get involved in these little neighborhoods, and then the gangs are formed. So they're trying to prevent that by keeping them proactive and engaged in activities outside of that. So the troop I was in, some of the kids were Mormon, but a lot of them were not. I can't remember which religions they were, but like they would come and they would do the Mormon prayers and everything else, which I thought was interesting because they did it very much like mutual, where they do the scripture at the beginning. But they're fine. They like playing basketball, and then they go to a camp outs and they earn their gear, you know, by doing what they need to, and they get grants for all the gear that they get. And they
cool.
I think they're going to the Jamboree this year. They're doing fundraisers for that. So yeah, it plays a big role. And part of the reason I got out of it is because there are just too many meetings. And yeah, and the leadership just like to talk a lot. So, but it's an exciting thing for them, and it plays a big role. But also, you know, outdoor recreation is taking more of a mainstream hold on everyone. So, and scouting is very different than like the outdoor mainstream, I think. Like,
right.
Scouting is more like, you know, conservative and a throwback to the past, and has that very military tie to it. So, and my scouting was, I don't know about you were in scouts,
yep.
right? It was very loose. We weren't forced to wear the uniforms. We just wore the shirts sometimes. We didn't wear them to our meetings or anything. And at scout camp, we just wear them for flag ceremony, and that was it.
Right.
So we were sort of in a loose, but I grew up in a good neighborhood, and we did really cool stuff. Like
right.
one time we climbed the Grand Teton and did the Wind River Range and all these things. And like, that's sort of typical of living out West, not necessarily scouts.
Right.
True or false? There is an award higher than an eagle that involves a beaver?
Yeah, silver beaver, I think it's
Thank
called.
Thank you. I said that to someone the other day. I was like, because we were talking about Eagle Scout. I was like, well, you know, I'm not just an Eagle Scout. I'm a silver beaver. And,
and
the dude was like, funny. And I'm like,
no, but that's a real thing.
No, but for real.
But
like,
you're not really a silver
beaver. Well, no.
Just so
they have palms, too. Have you heard of those, Brittany?
Yeah, the eagle palms.
You get leaves after you get your eagle that are like bronze, silver, and gold, right?
Yeah.
Just like
but,
the Olympics.
Okay. For how many merit badges beyond what you needed for an eagle, that's how you get palms.
So how do you get the silver beaver?
Probably it's get all thing, the... Right? Maybe that. You also have to be a huge nerd. Just kidding.
I think it... hang on. I
can't let go. But yeah, the guys, like some of the counselors at scout camp would have their eagles and then they had all the palm leaves around it. And that was a little overwhelming because I was like, really? Because you're like almost 20 still doing scouts.
I will say that coming from the Girl Scouts and then moving to Utah where we really don't do Girl Scouts here.
Yeah.
Like at least the Mormon Church doesn't.
Yeah, we're not.
I feel like that's something that other groups do, you know, because we have young women's or whatever. I did feel kind of left out a little bit.
Sure.
You know,
because there's camp outs and all these things. They're not just church stuff.
Really fun.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, we did a lot of the same activities, though, I'm sure, in Young Women's. You know, we camped and we...
Yeah, there's Girls Camp, I guess. Huh?
And there are awards that you can win or earn in Young Women's, but I feel like they were just kind of more, fill out this paperwork about what you think you've learned about such and such. La, la, la. I don't know. I honestly can't remember. Maybe I actually had to
it's
do
all
things.
Blur.
But I got all of those awards. I got every Young Woman in Excellence
award. Did you get your medallion?
Yeah. I still have them.
You should wear it.
My favorite one, I attached to a set of puka shells, and I wore it all the time.
How incredibly 90s of you.
Yes.
Ready for the Silver Beaver Award?
Yep.
Yes.
Is the Council-Level Distinguished Service Award of the Boy Scouts of America. So, like, here in Salt Lake, it's the Great Salt Lake Council, so there would be one awarded at that level. Upon nomination by their local Scout Council and with the approval of the National Court of Honor, this award is for registered adult leaders who have made an impact on the lives of youth through service given to the council. The Silver Beaver is an award given to those who implement the scouting program and perform community service through hard work, self-sacrifice, dedication, and many years of service. It is given to those who do not actively seek it. A little bit more. It was first introduced in 1931 as a pin-on medal. But due to heavy weight of the medallion, it was switched to a neck ribbon in mid-1932. A blue and white ribbon bar was introduced in 1934 for informal uniform wear. And in 1946, ribbon bars were replaced by the current knot insignia. The Silver Beaver was initially awarded only to men. But the Silver Fawn Award...
I thought you were going to say Silver Fox.
No, President Nukedorf won that one.
Because he would have that.
Yeah. Was the equivalent for women. It started in 1971. It used the same knot insignia, but on a blue background, as women were mostly involved in Cub Scouting during this period. The Silver Fawn was discontinued, and the Silver Beaver began to be awarded to women in 1974.
So I could be a Silver Beaver.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
But you wouldn't brag about it if you were.
You don't know me.
It is given to those who do not actively
seek it. That's why you wouldn't brag.
Oh, I hate riddles.
It is believed that 12 to 16 people are double...
Double beavers?
this is a council BSA award. It is conceivably possible for a person to receive this award multiple times from different councils. So like you get here in Salt Lake and then you move.
Then your shirt would get really heavy.
It is believed that 12 to 16 people are double recipients of the Silver Beaver Award. However,
like Meryl Streep, right?
Yeah. There is no record of a triple recipient.
Well, now we all have goals.
My life had no purpose until this moment.
I know of no triple beaver. Silver Beaver. All right. So there's that story.
I'm so glad we did this.
Let me see.
Went far down into the depths of the Beaver Dam.
You guys know who Arnold Freiberg is?
Yeah, he's the guy in Running Man and Total Recall.
Stupid.
Oh, wait, that's Arnold Schwarzenegger. Sorry.
I have no idea who Arnold Freiberg is.
He's the painter. All the Book of Mormon pictures.
Yep.
Super ripped guys that look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. See, I tied it in you.
He was from here in Holiday in the Salt Lake Valley. He's a Latter-day Saint painter who had a handmade advertisement of sorts. The sign invites people to buy a portrait from Freiberg, described as the most confused, abused, misunderstood, and underfed genius in seven counties. That's what his flyer said.
I think it's pronounced Freiberg, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah.
So, self-admittedly used, abused, and...
That sign that he made now hangs in the Springville Museum of Art. You guys ever been down there? Springville Museum of Art down in southern Utah County?
Springville?
So Provo, yeah.
Oh, where you live. Did you go there?
I live. Yes. It's amazing.
Does it have all his art?
What's that?
Does it have a lot of his art?
Oh, I thought you said Noah's Ark.
No. Does it have the Ark?
Yes,
the
entire Ark. People have been looking for it for years.
It's actually in Springville. That's where
I
landed.
Did I say Freiberg and you said it's Freiberg, or I said Freiberg and you said it's Freiberg?
It's Freiberg, I believe, yeah.
Okay, Freiberg? The name Freiberg sounds familiar. Freiberg... does not.
Do you know the pictures we're talking about, Brittany?
Yeah, of course.
Like George Washington praying is this non-Mormon one that's really famous.
Yeah.
Like Valley Forge.
But like the one that comes to mind is what I'm guessing is Captain Moroni holding the...
Yeah.
Right? And he's all like ripped and kind of like Tarzan meets...
So that sign now hangs at the Springville Museum of Art as part of their newest exhibition from the studio of Arnold Freiberg. Alongside it are numerous, enormous illustrations, some as large as 7 feet by 14 feet, that Freiberg sketched on his studio walls. Yes, those aren't canvases, but literally huge chunks of Freiberg's own walls. So he painted it on the walls. Not canvases on the walls. So
like
they
his
took
walls.
The walls out.
Is he dead?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He was
For a
he
long a- time?
Not like more than 10 years.
Okay.
He was, didn't he paint matte paintings in Hollywood and stuff?
Let's continue to read.
Yeah.
These walls are now on the second floor of the museum, and the museum doesn't have a freight elevator. The exhibition's largest piece, which depicts Joseph Smith being visited by God and Jesus Christ, weighs more than 600 pounds.
It's heavier than a Silver Beaver award.
Heavier than a Triple Beaver.
So Larson, who is the museum's assistant curator, talks about how they got this thing up on the second floor because they don't have a, you know, they don't have the.
It's like Wile E. Coyote. They got like a catapult, right, then a spring, and then a rocket.
No, she talks about it. She's like, "Can we tabletop it? How do we get the right angle in here?" She said it was nail biting to watch it come up. We had 10 different people, 4 big guys, all the interns and volunteers. We could scramble. It was really stressful, but it worked, and it was exciting.
Then the guy wasn't doing anything. He was just putting his hand on it.
Yeah, the one guy's like, great job, you guys.
I'm guiding it, guys.
Levi's over in the corner sleeping.
The museum worked with Micah Christensen, a specialist at Anthony's Fine Art and Antiques in Salt Lake, on the exhibit. Freiberg died 2010.
Ah.
Ah, yes.
He said there was so much more than a hero of Mormon art. His paintings were revered around the world, particularly in England, where he had been commissioned to paint portraits of the royal family.
Oh, wow. That's a pretty big deal.
The problem with Arnold Freiberg is that we're too familiar with him. Just like Van Gogh, Christensen said, we think we understand him because we're familiar with all of them. And the thing that I think people that surprises people is when they see Arnold Freiberg's sketches is how skilled he was as an artist on a technical level. He had an enormous arsenal. He was also a contemporary of Norman Rockwell. Anyway, so here's the deal. Let me get down to the bottom of this here.
The brass tacks, as they say.
This new exhibit is going on now through May 13th.
Okay.
And it's free.
Woo! You just said the magic words.
The Springville Museum of Art is in Utah, so sorry those who are not going to be in Utah or can't get out there.
Or it's on in Salt Lake.
126 East, 400 South. It's right off the 400 South Springville exit off of I-15. It's open through now through May 13th. You can go to smofa.org, S-M-O-F-A. That's the Springville Museum of Art.
Just make sure you spell that correctly.
Smofa.org. And check it out. But look how cool this is. So you guys come around here and see this.
Okay, hold on. We're going to move
this
away.
This is a sketch from Joseph Smith's first vision. This is just the sketch, right? Look how cool that is. And I'll make sure we share this on all of our social medias and all that stuff. But it's Joseph praying in the grove, and it's just Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ just barely sketched out.
One of the most iconic pieces of Mormon artwork ever.
Pretty cool, though, right?
Here's the thing. You could make a whole evening of that. If you're coming from the north and you're heading down south, you can stop first at the Baked Bear, which is
okay. A marijuana dispensary.
I didn't even know that this thing existed.
It's a little dispensary.
No. It's they make their own ice cream in-house.
Wait a minute. Where is this?
The Baked Bear.
Where?
It's in Lehigh.
Okay.
They're going to open one at Fashion Place soonish. And then there's one up north in Layton, I think.
People stop caring.
Anyway, so they make their own ice cream in-house. They make their own homemade donuts and cookies and brownies.
Yes.
And then you can go and have ice cream sandwiched between whatever combination of those things that you want.
Have you been there?
Yeah, and then they'll warm it up a little bit.
Yummy.
Like they do it like in this press thing.
Yeah.
And then they'll roll it in toppings.
Uh-huh. Is this the commercial break right now?
Yeah. Pretty awesome.
Okay, so you stop by the Baked Bear.
And then you head down to Springville.
No.
Okay.
You stop by the Baked Bear.
There's my itinerary.
And then you hit the Puppy Barn.
Okay, what's the Puppy Barn?
It literally is what it sounds like.
Okay.
Like the Puppy Ball during the Super Bowl.
It is it's a pet store that sells nothing but dogs. Mm-hmm. But it's become kind of like, hey, we're young Mormon and have no money. Want to go on a date to the Puppy Barn?
Okay.
We'll go and hold some puppies because that will make you want to kiss me later. Sort of thing. Yeah, so it's just.
Does that work? Levi, does it work? Yeah.
Puppies make me very, very kissy. Mm-hmm. But mostly to the puppies.
Sorry, I used all my kisses on the puppy. All right.
And then go to the art.
And then the art.
I was going to say go to Freebirds because it rhymes with Freeburg.
Well, and I was going to say make sure you hit up the Magleby Fresh if you're in Utah County.
Really?
You ever had the chocolate cake from the Magleby?
I have not.
Then shame on you.
That's fine.
I feel like that's just a lot of sweets if you go to the Baked Bear and then Magleby's for chocolate cake, but it's worth it.
And if you're not Mormon,
yeah.
I don't feel like you can eat a puppy.
I feel like you can eat a puppy.
If you're in Korea, you can eat a puppy.
Oof. That got dark real quick.
Yeah.
So, all right, so go check that out. Here's a list. Everybody loves lists.
I love lists, Richie.
This is 8 ways to prevent awkward silences when you teach.
Ask someone if they're why they're not married yet.
Yeah. Prevent awkward silences while you teach.
Talk about the weather.
I got called today. In fact, the reason why we got a little bit started late is because I was getting a calling today.
Aww.
Why is that happening?
What calling?
I got the best calling ever.
Oh.
It's the only calling I ever get. I'm a teacher. I'll be elders quorum teacher again.
I never.
That's a good calling.
That was the only calling that I ever wanted, and I got it once in all of my 30-something years. Once. Otherwise, it was fellowshipping committee.
Because you're friendly.
Event planning committee.
Weird voice committee.
Chorister committee.
Did you tell them you wanted to be a teacher? Because it seems like that's weird then. Because most people don't want to be a teacher.
There's a sheet of paper that says, "What callings would you like? Teacher." Teacher, 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 teacher.
Maybe they knew.
Would you like to be the...
That's controversial. If she's saying it that much, she's going to raise...
Chorister.
Yeah, so I teach once a month from the Gordon B. Hinckley manual.
So according to DJ Rob, you only have to work once a month in the church, and it's great.
Yep. Yeah. Great calling. Mm. I'm excited about that. All right, so 8 ways to prevent awkward silences when you teach. Are you ready?
Go.
Yes.
Number one, repeat the questions.
Bueller.
A lot of your students will just tune out if you've been talking too long. This is normal. I do it. You do it. You'll be sitting in front of the class thinking about your crockpot meal that's bubbling away. When the class falls silent, the teacher's looking around. You realize the teacher is waiting to get a response to her question. So, repeat the question.
Bueller.
Number two, wait. What do you mean, wait? We're talking about avoiding awkward silence. There's no getting around silence here if you're expecting to have a meaningful classroom experience.
That's a number two, is add awkward silence.
Wait, you know, but here's the deal, because there's a lot of people, and I happen to know an actress who's in the room with me right now who has a hard time with silence.
Untrue.
On stage. A little.
No.
A little.
Nope. Nope. Not even.
This is for part of three.
Nope. Yeah. Definitely not.
All right. But kind of.
No.
But a little.
The other night, you were like going off the rails on me, and did I say anything? I just
sat there. No, but I just mean like if there's silence.
No, like having... silence is sometimes a comedic device employed for... Yeah.
Right.
No, I don't like silences that aren't funny silences.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
And that's what this is. So in a class, and here's the thing, and I employ this tactic. Silence. Right? I ask a question and then I'm silent and then I will follow it up with, I'm not moving on until somebody answers this question.
And you'll just sit there.
And then I'll just sit there.
What?
And it gets awkward and then someone will say something. And the thing is, like, once people know that I am going to do that, people will always speak up. Or the other thing, and I haven't read the rest of this list, so maybe it'll be on the rest of this list, is I will follow up questions, right? Like, if I'm like, how do you find yourself, you know, what's the, and I'll ask you this question legitimately to illustrate this. What's the thing that brings you closest to God, Britt?
At this point in my life, I think it would just be, like, personal reflection on the amazingness that is our universe.
Okay. So talk to me a little bit about what do you mean, like, personal reflection? Like, you're meditating or...
Yeah, just when you kind of stop to consider the gravity and the unlikelihood of our existence.
Right.
It starts to... You're struck with this awe-ness, and then you're like, well, what is this awe? Oh,
then sings my soul.
Right, so how does that then impact you, right?
I don't know. It's more of a feeling. It's just like this, you're struck with like a feeling of humbleness, I guess.
Humility.
Humility.
Some would say.
Humbleness. Humility. Insignificantness.
So
I go and I eat a carton of ice cream and it's fine.
But from see, the so baked
that's
bear.
What, that's what I'll do as a teacher that most teachers won't do. They'll ask the initial question, what do you do that makes you feel close
to God? So you're like
a
therapist, essentially.
Well, kind of. But
no, that's what therapists do.
But it tries not to be invasive or
sure.
Like
but you single someone out like that?
Right. But yeah, no, I'll be like if someone's like prayer and I'm like, yeah, but what do you mean? Everybody prays. I pray and I don't feel close to God.
Yeah, you're not
God,
getting off that easy.
Yeah, you're not getting off that easy. And it's off-putting to people at first.
Yeah, but it's engaging, though. And people need to be engaged, or else it's crickets. And that's why in like a mid-singles where it doesn't work as well, because you don't know everybody's name. You don't know anybody's name.
Number three, ask them to be ready to share. So at the start of the lesson, be like, hey, you know what? I'm going to ask everybody to share. Depending on the proposal of that, all right, I didn't prepare very well, so we're going to need everyone to share, is not the way to do it.
Yeah, no. That's a bad Mormon thing to say, oh, okay, I suck, so bear with me.
Number four, have them share with a neighbor. This one's sort of weird.
No,
for me.
I don't like that.
I hate that. I'm
with Bernie on that one.
Turn to the person next to you. Yeah,
don't.
No,
I ignore them when they say that.
Don't do that.
It makes it more awkward.
Number five, and this is a list of
eight. Wasn't
eight? Eight ways to prevent awkward silences when you teach. Number five is have them make a choice and explain themselves. This is the one technique on this list that I can only say has yielded thoughtful, original responses every single time I've used it. I have them choose from a list of options and explain themselves. For example, I might list the words elated, free, thankful, fearful, and confused on the board and then ask them, how do you think the children of Israel most felt when they were freed from Egyptian bondage and why?
Hungry.
Any of the listed items would work in answering the question, but it's in explaining their answers that the students really have to engage and think critically about gospel doctrines and truths. Number six, first, give your own answer to the question. The younger the students, the more helpful it can be. This method can be very useful when asking your class to share personal experiences. So you go ahead and open up first so that others feel willing and able to open up.
Yeah.
Number seven, don't make them play guessing games. I wish that every teacher in the church knew about this.
Is that you saying that or the article?
The article says don't make them play guessing games. It says questions that either need to be 100% factual, who remembers what method was used to arrange the Pauline epistles, or 100% open to personal opinion. What's your favorite Pauline epistle? And what do you like about it? I beg you,
or what's an epistle?
My heart, don't make your students guess what is in your head. Nope, that's not it. What's the most important thing we do in the church?
So basically, don't be a woman.
No.
Oh.
Yikes.
Well, I mean, we were all thinking it. Yes. So.
Weren't we?
No, but you've had that teacher, right? I don't even want to engage on that. If it was Lindsay, throw your hands up in the air, I would get her into a huge argument right now. But
I am not
not a forgiving fighter?
No, I was going to say, like, I am the kind of person who fully embraces the gender quirkinesses.
Right.
I don't see them as negative. So, like, does a woman expect a man to guess what she's thinking sometimes?
Yeah.
Sure she does. Sure she does.
Yeah, absolutely.
That has no reflection upon, like, feminism or anything else. It's like, that's just how things are sometimes.
Absolutely. So. No, but you know the kind of lesson that I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, all right, what's the most important thing we do as members of the church? And it goes around the room.
Pray. Go to church.
Pray. Yeah, right? And it goes.
Go to seminary.
It goes. It's like, nope.
Go on a mission.
Nope. And then it just keeps getting
have faith.
Over the head. Nope. 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 Trying.
Oh, of course.
Like, oh,
they taught us all that in the first day of seminary class.
And then number eight, allow them to choose a question to answer. This is what I like to refer to as
choose your own adventure.
A money teaching technique, because the spirit just starts pouring. I've only ever done it by first asking them to write down their answer. If you teach seminary or institute, your students might already have journals. If you teach another class, they probably don't. It's worth bringing pencils and scratch paper to class so they have something to write on.
What?
They may not keep what they write, but it will help them ponder, develop their perspective, and engage with the Holy Ghost. For example, I might write the question on the board, what did you most enjoy about church yesterday?
When it was over.
What Sunday activity do you feel strengthens your relationship with Jesus Christ? And then write it down.
Water skiing.
The answer to both is the linger longer.
Amen, sister.
The munch and mingle.
I had a teacher who would do the break the ice thing at the beginning, who would choose a row, and then you'd have to say an anecdote about yourself. And, you know, some people were still awkward about it. But I think it was worth the time spent doing it, because then it put people in a sort of jokey mood, laughy, sherry mood, you know, and get to know a little bit about other people. It was good. You know,
but seriously, that whole, like, turn to your neighbor and share, that needs to be done away with.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, for real.
Whisper your biggest transgression to the person next to you.
I ate a puppy.
I ate a puppy. That's a bad one. Going to hell.
All right. Here's the last story. This is an interesting title. It's a little bit clickbaity.
Let's hear it. I want to click on it already.
And it's a wee bit long.
Yeah.
Are you ready for this?
I got a birthday party to get to. Come on.
This calls from, or comes from, Hope and Healing LDS, which is a Hope and Healing blog and forum. Support, information, help, and friendship. The article is called "Why I Happily Agreed to Marry an Addict." And goes like this. The man who is now my husband told me he struggled with a pornography addiction even before we started dating. It was a gut punch to hear him say it. But then that commitment to transparency and openness from the beginning was what I kept coming back to when I was terrified that it had all been a mistake. We'd been getting to know each other from two different parts of the country. I was really starting to like him. It was the suggestion of my flying out for a visit that brought on the phone call that broke my heart. He said he understood if that meant that I didn't want to come and I didn't know how to reply. Everything I knew about him and until 30 seconds ago was so attractive to me. He was smart, thoughtful, interesting, handsome, and good.
And rich.
I believe in the power of atonement, and I didn't want him to think that this particular struggle made him automatically unworthy of my time and attention. It would have been hypocritical for me, but it also sounded like an idiot move to know that about a person and still fly thousands of miles to see him, writes this author. Let's keep going. I hung up the phone and said I'd let him know. I didn't sleep all that night, and for days after, I had no idea what I should do. It wasn't until the following Sunday at state conference that things became clearer. We had a series of great speakers, but none of them seemed to have messages that were relevant to me. Then, as the second-to-last speaker was concluding, out of the blue, she mentioned the topic or pornography. It was only a sentence or two, but she'd said she believed it could be overcome. Then the last speaker got up. He said he had prepared an entirely different address, but instead wanted to continue with his topic of pornography and how through the atonement, this painful part of so many people's present could truly be left in the past. The spirit was so strong, and I knew that it would be okay for me to get on a plane and visit my friend. He became more than my friend not long after my arrival. We connected so incredibly well. I felt so comfortable and secure with him. We could talk about anything, and everything about him impressed me. He was constantly being of service to his family members and every friend in his life that I met would pull me aside and say how much he had inspired them or helped at a critical time, always being there when they needed him. My mind couldn't even contain the reality that this wonderful person had this terrible chronic behavior inside of him. You know that phenomenon where you hear a word you've never heard before and then suddenly you see it three different places within a week? The same thing happens when you start dating an addict. I was so happy with him, and yet in the months that followed, it seemed like every story I heard was of how so-and-so was getting a divorce because of an addiction and how after 8 years, this or that, this person had totally betrayed their partner. I especially remember overhearing a lady at a party saying, if my daughter was dating someone who had a porn addiction, I don't care how nice he is, I would tell her to run. So we go on. Meanwhile, I was falling so deeply in love with this man that it was so much different than infatuation. It just seemed obvious that we should be together, and everything about it felt so right. He watched out for me and supported me in everything I was pursuing. We would send spiritual thoughts to each other every day, and though we were so far apart and I couldn't help but believe in him. But then there was that anonymous woman's voice in my head saying that none of that mattered and that I should just run. That voice was still in my head when our relationship began to get a little more serious in terms of planning an ongoing life together. He said he felt that it was really important to tell me absolutely everything so that we could have complete openness about everything between one another. And a little part of me thought, maybe I don't want to know. But he insisted, and when he told me the full extent of his past transgressions, I was even more devastated than I'd already been. I excused myself from the conversation and went to my room and just wailed. I've never cried like that in all my life. I was praying aloud and so totally confused and feeling sick inside, but when I began to calm down, I found that strangely, I still believed him. I didn't understand why, but I had such a strong spiritual impression that all of the good things that I knew about him were still genuine and true. The next morning, I couldn't sleep, so I went outside to watch the sunrise and tried to consider what I should do. This new information was worse than I had imagined, and I felt like marrying him now would just mean it served me right if one day he cheated on me or something. Like any coming calamity in our marriage, knowing what I knew now would be inevitable and that I would be an idiot because I should have seen it coming. I pulled up a random general conference talk, and in a passing sentence it said explicitly not to discount someone just because of a past in sin or particular pornography. Of all the talks I could have chosen, that one came up. To that point, I felt like I could hear a chorus of voices telling me not to proceed, and that they all strangely sounded like that woman who said I should run. But then, the thought struck me. If I took out what anyone else would say in this situation, ignored the advice of random people, and it was only between me and the Lord, what would I conclude? Quote, I believe in him, and I believe the Lord can continue to help him recover from this. When it came down to just me and the Lord, I knew that it was all going to be okay, and the Spirit had guided me along in too many ways to this point for me to doubt that he could continue to do so. By this time, the man I loved woke up and came and found me. I was okay. I was on the road to completely forgiving his past and still hopeful about a future with us. I had some fundamental misunderstandings about pornography. We had set up a system of accountability where he had a weekly check-in. He would send me a screenshot from a tracking app he was using, and I would make sure to tell him that I was proud of his progress, because I, in fact, was. But every time he had a relapse and the count was back to zero, I felt deeply betrayed. Here's where my misunderstanding comes in. I thought that pornography addiction was all about the sex and intimacy, so how could he turn from me to this horrible thing when we had such good connection, even if so much of our relationship was happening from a distance? I thought that continually coming back to porn was some sort of deep perversion, and even though I understood addiction involves being out of control of oneself, I thought if he just loved me more, then he wouldn't go back to that. I'm going to skip a bit.
I feel like that's a good idea.
Here are key reasons important for anyone in this sort of partnership. And do go read this. It's an amazing thing. I read a lot of it, but I recognize real quick that it's pretty long. A few things that people should take from it. My partner decided from the beginning that he would always be totally honest with me, number one. We set up a system of accountability, number two. My partner used all available resources to help in his recovery. I'm already enjoying the beauty and love that all that heartache has become. Some of the greatest missionaries and prophets in the scriptures started out as the vilest of sinners. This gospel is a gospel of transformation, and going through the recovery process with the love of my life transformed me too. He's now coaching others through their recovery and continuing to make his life more whole, productive, and healthy than it ever has been before. Pretty good, I thought.
Who's the author on that?
The author is, wait for it, at the bottom, the author, Christine.
Christine.
Let me see her.
Whenever anyone talks about pornography addictions, I feel like without actually sitting down and talking to the individual with the said addiction, it's impossible to comment on it. Because,
right?
Well,
nor
no, because
should you?
Right, but what I'm saying is, like, so was it a good article? Sure, because I, you know, because that was her story, and this is something that they've decided to work through together, and it sounds like they found something that works for the both of them, you know. So, I mean, hopefully, this accountability system that they've got set up will be useful to them in their relationship. But like, there's a couple of things she said in there that kind of made me go, ah,
like what?
Yeah. I'm actually sitting here, right as you were finishing, I was like, man, I wish I would have had like a pen and a pad of paper to write down the moments where I went, heh, heh. I mean, didn't she say something like it's not about intimacy? Like pornography is not about
intimacy? Yeah, typically they say that.
Intimacy?
Yeah, that it's not about intimacy or sex.
It's not about intimacy sometimes, though.
To reiterate your initial statement, I don't think you can know unless you know the particular person is saying. But I think by and large, typically they say pornography addiction has nothing to do with the intimacy of it.
But maybe I don't understand what you mean by it doesn't have to do with intimacy, though, because I know, for example, there are men, maybe not LDS men, but maybe LDS men, who, when they're not in a relationship with a woman, they will look at pornography, but when they get into a relationship with a woman, then they will literally stop looking at it.
Right.
Because, and to me, it's like, so not into, I guess that's not intimacy so much. Maybe I'm just not understanding what that means. It's not about intimacy.
Well, in that case, I think. But I think you're right. There are people who would fill a void with it. And there's some people who do it just for the thrill, like the effects like a drug has.
Or people
brain.
Who are so introverted and shy that they don't know how, they can't be intimate. So in that case, it is, because it's like, I don't know how to be intimate with a real human.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But I'm okay being intimate. This way.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So,
sure.
That's my confusion is like, well, it's not about intimacy. Okay, I would just need to...
Sounds like we need to have Dr. Hodson.
Well, I think.
Well, I think it's the same way people would say that eating disorders are not about food.
Right. They're very rarely about food.
Sure.
Yeah.
So in that sense, like...
Well, and it's a general statement, too.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it could be, and it could not be.
Get that doctor back on here. I want to ask them about that.
Yeah. I think that when the lady says, if I knew someone with a pornography problem, I would run. You know, that's the general attitude of most people in the church. Yeah.
My mother would say that, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
And that's, and then, you know, she said she ran into people who were saying, oh, well, we got divorced because of the pornography problem. I'm like, every time I hear somebody gets divorced, I swear that's what they say the man's problem was.
But I think that that's a simplified version, right?
Because totally. That's what I mean. It's just like you throw it out there.
It's not necessarily the guy who's looking at pornography. It's like that the guy couldn't stop looking at pornography, or he had intimacy problems,
and he
money on it.
Exactly,
like it's more than just like one time looking at porn.
So he's addicted to porn.
I caught him one time looking at a Victoria's Secrets catalog.
So he's addicted to porn.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So varying degrees. I think what you said initially was absolutely correct. That you cannot speak about anybody's.
Yeah.
He's addicted to going to the mall and walking by the Victoria's Secret store.
Specific conditions. All right, let's be done. We hope this episode has nourished and strengthened your body.
Wait! I forgot to say something earlier.
Say it then.
I need to say it. Okay, so we are reviving the Anxious White Virgin website.
Okay.
And I did want everyone to know that.
Good.
So where do they find it?
www.anxiouswhitevirgin.com. Okay. I own the domain. It wasn't taken. Can you imagine?
I cannot imagine. Is it a full-blown site now?
It's under construction. but keep visiting it periodically. We're going to add, hopefully, some fun content. It's not just going to be blogs anymore. Hopefully, we'll do, podcasts and videos, vignettes, stuff. It's going to...
Memes?
Memes.
Sweet.
Because we all want to laugh at the carnage sometimes.
That is the catch line.
I like that.
So, anyway, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt, but...
AnxiousWhiteVirgin.com.
www.anxiouswhitevirgin.com.
All right. Now, we hope this episode is nourishing strength to your body.
We hope that if you're not well enough to listen intently this week, that you'll be able to next week.
And you could travel home, but safely, in safety. Man.
When the time comes.
Well, you're rusty, Brittany.
Eat a puppy.
Look at her hair on Instagram. She's rusty.
In the meantime,
we'll be saving a seat for you.
On the back row of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat on the back row.